this afternoon at the University of Maryland, representing the Baha'i Chair for World Peace, and my name is Hoda Mahmoudi, who is the holder of the Baha'i Chair. I'm sitting at a table with undergraduate students from the University of Maryland who represent different disciplines, and it's really my honor and privilege to be with them because student perspectives prove to be so important to the work of the Baha'i Chair. And so today we are going to have a conversation, and really it's intended to be a conversation about various issues that we find important at this time to discuss together and to get these students' perspectives on this. So I'll start out with the first question, and that is the overall question is, how do we work to bridge divides between different communities on campus? And I think I'll just leave it at that and see if you have comments about this.
My name is Esther. I'm an economics major, undergraduate student at the University of Maryland. I think the biggest divide between communities is that students feel worried about entering a community that is not quite their own. So I think it's important to encourage dialogue between communities and ensure communities that amongst different cultures that they're welcome to interact with one another and to learn about each other's cultures and feel comfortable learning about each other's cultures.
Hello, my name is Chica. I'm a freshman undergrad student here as a nursing major. And I feel like a lot of times the struggle between students to integrate between communities has to do with the fear of being, let's say, rejected or not maybe coming into community and fearing that you are now an intruder. And the best way, in my opinion, is just to start asking questions or to just probe a little bit. I know for me, in my first semester here on campus, I got a job at the care unit, which has to do with sexual assault victims and things like this. And these things usually aren't really a topic for guys to talk about or that really happened to us. So being exposed this entire semester to what happens to victims, their responses, emotional responses, and stuff like this, I feel like I have learned to better appreciate, one, the care unit and what they do here on campus, and to appreciate and to understand the perspective of what women may go through on campus and across the community as a whole. So I think, in my opinion, just throwing yourself in there, jumping in feet first and seeing what happens is really important to reach those community or divides on campus.
Thank you.
My name is Kanta, and I'm a junior criminology and government politics major. And I think that the biggest thing that divides people is the assumption that you won't be accepted into a community. So we have so many different cultural groups on campus, but the people who attend those cultural groups are generally the people who are a part of those cultures, because I think people, as Esther said, people are afraid that if they go into that community as an outsider, they will be seen as an outsider. And I think we need to try and make it more multicultural, make maybe an organization that represents people from many different cultures sharing, rather than it's just, this is for me and people of my culture.
Thank you.
My name is Edwin Rodriguez. I'm a senior criminology, criminal justice major. And I feel like a lot of times we tend to create spaces without even noticing that, you know, we're excluding another person. And I think sometimes it really just, you know, like, as a student, you know, we do have to probe and we do have to, you know, ask questions. But I feel like a lot of times other people have to, you know, initiate that. And it's like, hey, you want to come work with us? You know, I feel like a lot of times we don't speak up when we need to. And so, you know, I feel like there needs to be an initiative on both sides.
I'd like to follow up on that one. Sometimes people say it's really hard to ask someone to join us. Do you have anything to say more about that?
I can see how it can be difficult. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're taught, like, don't talk to strangers and all that stuff. But, you know, I feel like on a college campus, you're supposed to feel safe and you're supposed to feel, like, welcomed. And, you know, I hate seeing people, you know, like, we're working in groups and someone just, like, is working by themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, like, at that point, I just feel like I have to be the one to say, hey, do you want to come work with us? And so, you know, but there can be that sense of hostility sometimes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, especially for me as a freshman, in classes, you're thrown into a whole new world and you don't know anyone in those classes. You may have maybe one person from your past that you maybe recognize, but even then, it's still a brand new world. So at that point, I think that at the beginning of the semester, that's your best chance to really expose yourself to all sorts of viewpoints and all sorts of cultures and backgrounds and such. I know my sociology class was probably one of the most diverse classes I've been a part of, and I know I was exposed to so many different perspectives on issues from race to gender to education and such. And with me starting out this way and having such a broad perspective to take in, I think that will further, or at least better, my understanding of the world, especially when it comes to how I deal with situations in the future. And starting out, I think, early on in the semester or in the year or as a freshman really sets the course of your college experience and how you turn out as an adult in the whole.
I also want to comment on what you said about the beginning of the semester being like when you make friends. I feel like as a junior now, sometimes I feel like it's too late to join some things, mm-hmm. when really it's not. Like, I could still go to any group that I want and be like, hey, like, tell me about you. But I think it's just that hesitation of, oh, they already have established connections and they already have their group of friends. They probably don't want another one. But I think every group of friends will tell you that we're always open to, like, inviting another person in. Every organization will be like, we're always open to a new member. So I think it's just, like, a personal kind of limitation that we put on ourselves.
I think in that respect, it's almost the role of the student leaders of these cultural groups to engage students and to ask questions and to make students feel safe in asking them questions that might be uncomfortable. And I think we have a lot of great student leaders on campus that would do that too.
Are there challenges created by a fragmented student body? Do you see evidence of that? Excuse me.
No, that's okay. I think that it's just that we have such a huge campus that sometimes students don't know about mm-hmm. everything that's going on. So, for example, we do have the First Look Fair, which is great because you get to go around, but I think it can be very overwhelming. You don't really have time to go to all the tables and ask all the questions you have. And with a large student body, I don't think we get all the information because although we do get that email sent out at the beginning of every week telling you what's going on, a lot of times it's just like sports and just big events, but I think we should have some sort of calendar that puts all the events in there and you can maybe filter it by either your major or what you're interested in or clubs or organizations, just so there's one place where you can see everything that's going on because there's things going on every single day. Mm-hmm. It's just that I feel like the marketing isn't really as effective as it could be.
And the First Look Fair at the University of Maryland is a two-day event, help me here, that actually has student organizations that are presented at various tables as well as majors and programs on campus. And it's intended for new students, and I assume old ones who want to come back and see what's going on, to come and explore what's on campus. But you're saying that's not enough. We should do more than that in terms of the fragmentation.
Yeah, I definitely think there needs to be more of like a regular, like on a weekly, monthly basis, something that reminds people that there's more to just explore out there, just more than the organizations you're already a part of.
Right.
So I think like once a year reminder isn't really sufficient enough.
Great. My name is Samantha Ernst and I'm a public health science major and I'm a junior. Going off the First Look Fair, I think it's like very overwhelming. It's kind of impossible to even get through and look at all the booths you want because there's like absolutely no organization. So it's kind of stressful, I think. And because it's only in the fall, the people who come in the spring won't ever have any opportunity. And maybe if they, like, I don't know, organized it better or found a way so that, I think maybe a calendar or something that you could filter to your interests would be good. Because I know even, like, the different schools within the University of Maryland, they send out, like, emails about everything. But if we could maybe alter that also and talk more about what's out there and provide more information, that it would be like relatively effective.
So one last question. How can we speak to each other across cultural and value-driven divides?
I think it just comes to, if you see, usually a lot of times these conversations start over an event that happened in the news or something like this, whether it's Black Lives Matter or the recent election. And a lot of times there's so much emotion behind those, behind those events that we see people as enemies or people who are either with us or against us. And I think that is the first barrier we need to break down in order to have better conversations such as this. I think the first way is just to ask, you know, how do you feel? How do you feel about X or how do you feel about Y? You know, this kind of makes you feel a certain way, not necessarily putting the blame on a party or a group or a particular set of people, because that continues to build to further interest and to continue to divide one another. And also approaching it with an open mind that you don't know what someone could say that could end up changing your perspective, that could end up affecting you because you didn't know that this stereotype or this perception of a group was truly inaccurate, or there are implications that are mentioned that can actually affect the people around you. I mean, I know for the Black Lives Matter movement, it was hard to explain to people that, you know, over the summer I had a hard time going out because, you know, if I was driving and something were to happen to me, what would I, you know, what would I say to my parents and stuff like that? And I don't think many people are openly racist or very hateful. I think it's just they don't understand or they don't have someone to connect it to.
I want to follow up on that. How can maybe those people who don't understand the emotional level, the reality of what it's like to drive down the road and worry about a police officer pulling you over and where that might lead, how might we increase awareness about that level of understanding about these issues?
And that's definitely tough one to answer, because so much of what we understand about the world is through media and through mainly the news, and a lot of times with the news it becomes polarizing. So if we take out, let's say, the flashy headlines and the images and stuff like this, and instead maybe refer them to like scholarly works or journals and stuff like this where it's been peer-reviewed, stuff that is actually credible and stuff that is thoroughly researched, that way they have something that they can base their arguments or opinions off of, instead of what was this 30-second blurb on the news that I heard that may not be completely accurate at all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Vicky Yu. I'm a sophomore student here studying economics and statistics. Going off of what was just said, I think a lot of the solutions we have to these problems are conversation and being open with our thoughts and feelings. But that also assumes that on the part of the other party that they're willing to listen and that they're willing to be open. But the problem I see in this country a lot is that we haven't fostered a sense of creativity and curiosity and willingness to listen to something else and the willingness and openness to being wrong. So the problems that come stem from a much deeper problem than periodic events that happen or even our entire history. A lot of it has to do with our culture and the way we want to think and view the world.
Well, Vicky, you need to say more. So, what are you suggesting to overcome this?
One of the things is being able to let go of your own idea of perfection and your own ideals about what the world should be like. A lot of the times we approach events with a very black and white picture of what was wrong and what was right and where we stand on that divide. But the real world is more black and it's more gray than it is black and white. And willing to acknowledge that also means willing to let go of certainty, and a lot of the times it might be willing to let go of your own sense of who you are as a human being.
Thank you. Anything else on this?
Go ahead.
Nick, all you.
I think a lot of people also go into these conversations with expectations, and a lot of times those expectations are to sway the other side to being in line with your argument or your stance. And I don't think that's right. I think it really should be a conversation. It should be two people expressing their beliefs. And even if you don't completely agree with the other person, I don't think yelling and pushing someone to do something they don't want is the right answer. Because even if they do say they change their belief, they might be doing it out of resentment and they might still have that resentment later. So I think it's more about expressing your point of view, and as you said, bringing in a lot of statistics and facts rather than just like those headlines, those catchy headlines, because then your argument is based in something. It's not just something that you're pulling out of thin air and you're just expecting the other person to understand. It's really something that is scholarly based, and you can't really deny the facts.
I also think that sometimes people go into conversations like this, like, because they're so emotionally charged with the intent to argue, and the intent, like, they're angry, and they want to express that somehow, and I think having an open mind and really going in to learn rather than to fight, like, fighting is very unproductive. So to go in and actually listen and, like, hear them, not just, like, listen to talk again, is super important, and you really do have to pay attention and think about it. You can't just respond immediately.
Esther? This idea of presenting research and facts, I wish it was that easy, because unfortunately the reason the media is covered in these catchy headlines is because that's what people want to read, that's all our attention span really jumps to, and so if we're thinking about how we could portray this in the media, maybe a emotional path is not so wrong, is to expose these stories of individuals who have felt uncomfortable in their community or discriminated against or whatever it may be, to just expose their side of the situation, but also to get the other side about why people may have these misconceptions and where they arise from. So, I don't know, there's a way to let long-form journalism exist.
It's interesting. I think it's the sensationalism that perhaps you're alluding to of the media or journalism. And I think the other is that I do think we have to see what the facts are. I mean, to just have opinions really is not enough. What is happening in terms of the reality of the situation? So it seems like both of these could bring better balance to the whole discussion or discourse.
Yeah.